This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand.
See Live Off the Record with Shivago Lang is brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, Grand Bahama News, the Insurance Commission of the Bahamas, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. 325-4316. You can text us on 422-4796, that's 422-4796, so you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show, or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. So much going on today, so much. But before we get to some of that, we have some special guests in studio today, talk about some special stuff going on. We have with us representatives of Bahamas Striking and Striping, Bahamas Striping. This wonderfully meteoric young company that started with a small little project and has been doing some marvelous things in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas for some time now. I know some of the names that they told me are going to be here. Is Melanie Roach in the studio?
No, Miss Roach had to travel.
No problem. No problem. How about this? How would we do this? You just tell us who is in the studio, and then we'll go from there.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. My name is Juliet Josie, and I'm the executive assistant at Bahamas Striping Group of Companies. Also joining us from Freeport will be Melissa Sayers, who's the co-chairperson for the feeding program, the feeding initiative on that island.
Okay, Juliet, it's been a long time. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you.
Super, super, super. Okay, so let us know what is happening, please. And hi, Melissa.
Hi, Shivago.
It's been a very long time.
too long time.
For real. It's so good to have you on the show.
And it's good to be on your show. I listen to your show every single day on 969, every day.
I'm so sorry that I torture you that way.
No torture at all. I enjoy it.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate it. And so, as I indicated, you know, Bahamas Striping has been doing some marvelous things for quite some time now, and now you have something going on in partnership with others, I believe.
Yes. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Juliet.
So this year, we decided to do things a bit differently. We decided that we want to feed about 10,000 Bahamians.
Whoa.
Throughout the islands of the Bahamas.
Whoa.
And we are excited. We feel that the company is blessed. So we decided that we're going to share some of that with the people of the Bahamas. That's a lot of food. And we're excited.
Mm-hmm.
So with this,
and given the environment we know we are in, if what we are told is happening at social services is any indication, what we know has been the impact of the pandemic still lingering to some degree with lots of people, then we know that that initiative is absolutely necessary.
Yes, absolutely. And I just want to interject here that also joining us is Ms. Nicolette Fountain Archer from the Feeding Network, who are also partnering with us.
Okay, so now this is a huge endeavor. So what's the approach? What's the strategy here?
Well, what we did is we reached out to a lot of our partners.
Mm-hmm.
We have quite a few local companies and organizations that have stepped in to assist. We have the Rotary Pilot Club, Hands for Hunger that have stepped in, and they're going with distribution. And as I mentioned, the Feeding Network, they are assisting us with distribution to our family island. So we get the items delivered to them. The menu items are being delivered to the Feeding Network. And Ms. Archer and her team have opened their doors to us. They're packaging. Once the items are delivered, they package them and they ship them to the dock for us out on the boats and to the islands. We're using their feeding centers actually, I'll let Ms. Archer talk about that portion of it, but we are so grateful for the persons that have stepped up to help us. We also have quite a bit of, like, as I mentioned, partners. We have Bahama that has stepped in, and they're going to cook some of the meals for us. We have Chef Manny at Manuelo's. We have Bible Truth Ministries Church that has opened their kitchen, and they're going to cook quite a bit of the meals for us as well. And we're so proud of Aquinas College, the students and the Home Economic Department. They're going to assist. We have as well in CGL Construction, Das Mechanical. We have Exclusive Aviation that flew in some of our items for us, so hats off to them. We have Roots Junkanoo Group that is going to step in, and they're going to go in and help season and prep meals at Aquinas College. Electrical Elven Solutions, Simplified Lending. That's just naming some of the partners that we have.
So this feeding is going to take place over a period of time, not a, you know, like some people do like a one-day something or two-day something. This is over a period of time?
No, this is going to be one day on Thanksgiving Day.
Whoa. So all over the Bahamas?
All over the Bahamas. The islands that we have.
Okay.
So far, the main islands that we have so far, we have, of course, Nassau, which is home base. We have Grand Bahama, which Melissa will speak about. We have Abaco, We have Andros, Long Island, Eleuthera, Mayaguana, and that's just to name a few.
Wow. Okay. Well, Melissa?
So, you know, Shivago, this is an ambitious initiative.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest with you, I'm kind of wearing two hats here because insurance management has also come on as a partner with this initiative along with Bahamas Striping Group of Companies. But I'm also the president of Sunset Pilot Club. And one of the things that we really liked about this whole initiative and what Bahamas Striping was doing was it wasn't just about one person. We were bringing everybody together to really accomplish this initiative and cause it to manifest on the 23rd of November. So along with me, you would have the Pilot Club, and I'm president of the Sunset Pilot Club. You would have the Kiwanis Club. You would have the Rotary Club. And all of these organizations came in, in just wanting to come together to do something united in the community of Grand Bahama. Now, as many persons know, Grand Bahama has had its challenges for a very long time. The food is high. It is expensive. And the cost of living is expensive. And so it was very easy for us to sign on with the Bahamas Striping Group of Company to talk about feeding 10,000 persons across throughout the archipelago on this day. Now, our job here in Grand Bahama is to at least feed 2,000 of those persons, and we're well on our way to doing that. Okay. The amazing thing is we've had so many companies that have joined in and say that they would help in whichever way, whatever small way it might be, they were willing to do that. You had restaurants, small restaurants that decided, yes, we know that day that, you know, that's our day where we want to make some monies. But the reality is the persons that we want to touch with this program, this Thanksgiving initiative, are persons who can't afford a $25, $30, $35 Thanksgiving lunch meal anyway. So we want to touch those communities. And we are going from the West. My mission is to go from the West, from the East to the West. And we have been accomplishing that. I have a wonderful team in that, where we have the Rotary Club and the Pilots and Kiwanis. We've come together. We've already been meeting. And this team is so excited. And it's a wonderful thing to see that we're united. You know, as one, and I like the initiative because Bahamas Striping is saying, we do this every year, but it's only us. Well, what would happen if we decide to bring all persons together from different aspects of, from different industries to make this initiative happen through the entire archipelago? And I just thought it was ambitious, but I knew that it was doable once we come together as one and put our heads together and make it happen. I am so proud of the team in Grand Bahama, and I believe we will touch some lives on that day. And that's the important thing, that somebody will have a hot meal on that day during Thanksgiving. And so I'm very glad to be a part of it. I will also tell those who are under the sound of my voice that it's not too late. If you want to be a part of the initiative, if you want to give, whether it's your time, whether it's your money, whether you want to give ham, turkey, food items, whatever it is not too late. Everything that is done in Grand Bahama with money or food items stay in Grand Bahama. So we're also, once we get cash donation items, we're spending it with the local Grand Bahamian community and business owners. We're doing that right here. So everything we collect in Grand Bahama, it doesn't go to Nassau. It stays in Grand Bahama. And we are feeding ourselves. We're helping each other and we're touching the community. So I'm very proud to be a part of this initiative.
Bahamas Feeding Network, you must be tickled pink.
Absolutely. 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 As you may or may not know, feeding hot meals is how we began.
Speak into the mic, please. I think maybe we're not hearing you as well.
Okay. I was saying feeding hot meals is how we began our operation.
Mm-hmm.
And as COVID came, we changed the way we do things and we give food parcels instead.
Okay.
Okay. And we deliver those to our partners, our feeding centers, our churches. But to actually be able to put a hot meal in the hands of somebody, because you give the food, but you don't know that they have the means to cook it.
You know, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? So
mm-hmm.
When you put that hot meal in their hands, you know they have something that's going to, and the extent of this meal, man, that might even last 2 days.
And you know, the thing about it is, we think, okay, but they're going to just get a meal for one day. The fact of the matter is, it's not just the meal. It's the fact that somebody said, at least for this moment to you, mm-hmm. not just a meal, but a something you can enjoy and not have stressed yourself out for.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Yes. Exactly. And as so many of our, we have a number of young donors now to the Bahamas Feeding Network, children. And we're so very pleased and tickled with them. And their thinking is they never have to think about where their food is going to come from. They always have it. And, you know, we have a couple who say it's not fair that I get to have this and somebody out there is not knowing where their next meal is coming from. So I applaud those children and I applaud the parents for bringing them up to be socially conscious. And so the rest of you out there who are hearing about this initiative, Think about it and give, because you're impacting a family, you know, not just one person, a family.
You know, when I was a member of parliament, I observed something. You know, we do those Christmas parties, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I first started it, we do it and, you know, people would come get a hot dog or a hamburger and eat and leave, right? You know what I noticed? Like, over time, as things got economically more difficult, I saw people piling up 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 hot dogs on one plate.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized people were taking stuff home to have something to eat for days.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Exactly. Now, to be fair and to be honest, we got some needy and we got some greedy.
Some greedy. No question about that. No question about that.
But that's not on us.
That's why I said it was the difference I noticed, because it was the same group of people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But over time, and we knew the economy was getting worse.
Yes.
We saw people now just doing something that was unusual mm-hmm, for the circumstances. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we really applaud Bahamas Striping Group of Companies for this. And we are pleased to be able to be a part of it, to be able to hand a hot meal out. And thank you to all of those who have partnered with them in the donations.
Yes. Julia, 10,000 people.
10,000 persons. Mm-hmm. And she went on to what Melissa said. Purchases were made locally. The majority of our purchase, in fact, everything that we've purchased was local, except for a small portion that, like I said, one of our partners flew in for us. Mm-hmm. Everything was purchased locally, and we applaud BAIC as they are providing all of the produce that will be used for this feeding initiative.
Wow, okay.
And what they don't get to deliver to the feeding network, they're going to take directly to the mail boat for us to ship out. And we say hats off to them for stepping up. And these persons are going to receive a plate that has items that were grown, produce that was grown locally. And we are so proud on this 50th independence to say that we're going to have mm-hmm. something on our plate that was locally grown.
Mm-hmm.
How are the people who are going to be fed? How are they going to access this meal? So on these islands, so what is it that they're supposed to do? You're going to have a place where they can come and people just come? Or how does that work?
Well, with Nassau, we have distribution centers. We're having meals already plated, being delivered to places like to organizations such as the Singing Bishop Feeding Foundation. We're having meals already plated again, delivered to Great Commission Ministries, Bible Truth Ministries. They're cooking, plating, and distributing as well. And again, Bahamas Feeding Network, that's Nassau, distributing as well. Chef Manuelo, he's plating and distributing. As for the islands, the Bahamas Feeding Network is taking care of that for us through their feeding centers, and Nicolette can add on to that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we do have some feeding centers on the various islands, Shivago, and so mm-hmm. they know the people who need it.
Yeah, right.
So it's a regular.
Okay.
One, and one of the things that we do is we keep a list of our people with NIB numbers. Sadly, we have to do it, but we try to prevent the double dipping within the various organizations. So on those islands where we have centers, and these would be centers that receive from us on a monthly basis, so we've contacted them, and Bahamas Tribing Group of Companies is kind enough to be sending them the food items, which they will then cook. And so they will be able to serve the same set of people who normally come to them and are in need of the food. And I mean, depending on how much they get, they may be able to include a few extras, because there's always a need beyond what you can provide.
Over the years, have you found a timidity with people who just, you know, we can be proud and we don't want to have to need anybody, but sometimes we do. But you find people who are gun shy that way, and then you have to decide on maybe some more discreet way to help them?
Not any longer. I think it has gotten to the point where the need has had to overcome the timidity. Mm. That really surprised me. I've only been with the Bahamas Feeding Network for 1 year and a bit. And I'm surprised, you know, and people would come and they would say, you know, well, we can pay our rent now, but ain't nothing left over to buy no food, you know, and so they come. And especially if they have children, you know, if they have children, they may starve themselves, but they will come to get something for their children. And sometimes it's a neighbor who comes on their behalf.
Right. So Thanksgiving is the date, right? Which is November?
November 23rd.
Right. So people know.
Yes, and that's next Thursday.
And so, Melissa,
yes,
I don't
sir.
Want these people in Nassau to get mad with me, but I can deliver up a turkey to you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, right? I want to surprise you, though. I can deliver up a baked turkey to you.
and we will appreciate that. We do have single donors who have come forward and say, you know, Melissa, I can't give you 10 turkeys or 10, but I'll take the one, because every little bit counts and it adds up, you know.
I'll see what else we could drum up for you.
And I appreciate that, because, you know, Shivago, we're from Grand Bahama. We've been here a long time, this we home. We've had challenges for a very, very long time. And, you know, as I listen to the ladies speak about the timidity gone, you know, sometimes it's sadden when you see them. They're struggling, you know, and you wish you could help everybody. But this gives us an opportunity to at least help someone, and to make them feel, as you said, we care enough about you to come together and to put this initiative together to make sure that you have a hot meal on that day, November 23rd. So yes,
Julie,
I will be
gonna come back
to get
afterward and tell us how it went. So we
absolutely
get to know if you feed 10,000 or 11,000 or 7,500.
Yes, definitely.
Yes. So we can know how it's done. Anything else you want to let people know? What do they need to do if they want to donate? What do they need to do if they might want to get a meal? What do you want to
do? Well, I can chime in, because in Grand Bahama, we're still looking for more donations. So you can give me a call at 350-3500. You can call and ask for Melissa Says, and we will be happy to accept your donations, whatever it may be, so that we can really help to make a positive impact on our community and with this initiative.
Office number is 394-77-9, and you can just leave your name, number, and what it is that you'd like to donate, and someone will definitely reach out to you and happily receive your donation. Additionally, I forgot to mention Exuma. How could I forget Exuma? Sandals in Exuma is once again this year they have opened up their property to cook and distribute for us as well. So hats off to Sandals in Exuma.
You see how much more we could do when more of us are involved.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And kudos to our principals, President Atario Mitchell, and our executive chairman, Mr. Dominic Starup, who is the visionaries mm-hmm. behind this feeding initiative.
Yeah.
And
excellent.
Of course, they believe in giving back, mm-hmm. and that's what it's about. So if you'd like to donate, As Melissa mentioned, you don't have to do 10 turkeys. You can just call and say, I can donate ham. I can donate a case of rice, whatever it is. We will be happily to receive it and make sure that hands for distribution.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. Well, folks, we wish you all the best. And we know it's going to make a difference. And we want to thank Bahamas Striping and all their partners that are involved with this undertaking. And God bless you all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some issues floating out there. We'll be back after this break.
It's Whopper Wednesday every Wednesday at Burger King Nassau. Make your Wednesday sizzle and sink your teeth into a flame-grilled beef patty topped with tomatoes, fresh-cut lettuce, mayo, pickles, ketchup, and sliced onions, all on a toasted sesame seed bun with fries for only $5.95, including VAT. This Whopper Wednesday, grab a friend and head down to your favorite BK Nassau location for a flame-grilled Whopper made your way with crisp fries for only $5.95. Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Welcome to World Investor Month. Let's talk about how investments behave when inflation sticks around. In a world of rising prices, some investments may shine, like commodities or real estate. Others, like bonds, may lose their luster. To navigate this, diversify your investments. Spread your money across different asset classes to reduce risk. This message is brought to the Bahamas International Securities Exchange. Get started by following us on social media.
Hurricane season runs until November 30th. The Insurance Commission of the Bahamas encourages homeowners to be prepared. Review your insurance coverage today. Check your policy limit. Is it enough to rebuild your home? Have you accounted for everything you own and how much it's worth? Do you know the percentage of the hurricane or storm deductible in your policy? What disasters does your policy cover? For more information on how to prepare for hurricane season, visit www.icb.gov.bs.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. It's so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. So glad you can join us. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316, or you can text us on 424-7296 or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. As I indicated, we are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's where my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow, channel 612. I understand that there is supposed to be some fairly bad weather in Grand Bahama tomorrow. That's what I understand. Some systems seem to be converging there. Of course, these things are always forecasted, so the probabilities related to them. I don't know if it in fact will happen, but this is what I'm being told. In Grand Bahama, or who are going to Grand Bahama or coming out of Grand Bahama, probably need to check with the weather people to make sure what the situation is going to be. My understanding is it might be a little deteriorated even now and should get worse and get even have some issues tomorrow, but that's what I was told this morning by some fairly reliable sources. If things change, please, I'm happy to hear it, and you can let me know. I did not certainly want to dampen the effort that's being made by Bahamas Striping with the feeding program by the indication that we seem to have some capsizing of a boat that resulted and possibly resulted in some loss of life, so that is an emerging and developing story. Hopefully there's a limited amount of injury and fatality, but we'll keep checking. Somebody sent me here, said just to break down what they're saying by Thursday or Friday, Bimini, Grand Bahama, Abaco, and New Providence will see more so heavy rains and at times some strong winds, possibly 40 to 50 miles per hour winds. Again, it's still too early to tell, hence it's only a gale watch. That's what is being told. It's a special weather statement issued at noon today, yesterday, November 23rd, 2023. A gale watch will come into effect for the extreme northwest Bahamas Tuesday evening, that's the 14th, that's the day, and for the remainder of the northwest and central Bahamas on Wednesday, and as excessive rainfall watch will come into effect Wednesday morning. The combination of a deepening low pressure in the northern Gulf of Mexico moving eastward, along with a mid-level lower pressure, and warm, deep tropical moisture from the Caribbean Sea will act as a catalyst for excessive amounts of rainfall of the northwest and portions of the central Bahamas beginning on Wednesday, continuing through early Friday. Wow, that's a little bit. That's lasting a little bit. Therefore, residents in low-lying and flooded areas should begin to take necessary precautions for possible localized flooding. Furthermore, the pressure gradient between the low-pressure system in the Gulf of Mexico and a strong high-pressure system over the eastern United States will generate hazardous marine conditions beginning Tuesday evening in the extreme northwest Bahamas, gradually reaching the remainder of the northwest Bahamas by Wednesday. The central and southeast Bahamas will be impacted on Thursday. Bob, thank you for that. Thank you for that. So, Mr. Rupert Roberts, having listened to Prime Minister Davis, had some words for the Prime Minister, indicating that essentially he wasn't sure if the Prime Minister was in warning businesses speaking to him, but if he was, he says that the super value does not cheat. See how when you communicate something, how you may be thinking you are just saying something in a certain kind of way, but in point of fact, the receiver, the listener, actually hears it in another kind of way. So the takeaway from Mr. Roberts, and probably some others, is that the Prime Minister was alluding to, hinting at, business people cheating. How are they cheating? Well, I give you a reduction in custom duty. And rather than you lower the prices of your goods for people, you decide to keep the prices the same. And so the idea then is that you're cheating because I lower the duty in the hopes that you will lower the prices accordingly. Now, if the government reduces a duty on an item, and the cost of that item to the producer, to the seller, and all the other cost of the seller does not go of the buy of in the period in which that exemption, I mean that reduction happens, it is reasonable for the government to expect that the prices will go lower. That's reasonable. That's very reasonable. If those things hold up, if those things are true. And if though, now listen, if the government reduces the duty in the hopes that the seller will reduce the cost so that that saving goes to the consumer, but the seller does not reduce the cost accordingly, notwithstanding their cost didn't go up. Is that really cheating? Is it? Is that even hoarding? Is that even gouging? I'm asking you. So let's do it. Let's do it. Let's say it slowly and break it down. So the government raises the duty on an item. The government put the duty on the item when the government does that. Because now the producer has to will pass that cost on to the consumer. And the price to the consumer will go higher. What is that called? Okay, so bear that question in mind. So what is that cost called when the government does it? So let me give you an example in case some of you say, well, give me an example of that. Okay, give me an example. The government, through its enterprise, state-owned enterprise, BPL, raised the fuel surcharge. They did. Even if it's lawful, that don't mean nothing because the government could change the law and say, no, don't do that no more. We can fix the law and change the law so that you don't have to do that anymore. And you soak it up. We'll soak it up. No problem. But the government doesn't do that. The government, on several occasions over months, raised the fuel surcharge and therefore the price and cost of power to you. What is that called? What do you call that? Do you call that by the government gouging? Is that gouging? What is that by the government? Okay, so say that. Okay, now, when you find a term for that, if the government reduces the duty on an item, expecting that the seller will reduce the cost of that item, and it is reasonable to expect that that would happen, because I think a seller would want to sell more, and therefore knows that if they can lower the price of something, they can sell more. Their profits don't change because that cost was a cost they bear to the government and pass it on to the consumer. So they still have their profit taxed onto that because they can always say, well, the government had the duty on it at this month. But if they don't do that, if they don't lower the cost, what is that called? Cheating? Greed? Savvy business? What is it called? If they don't do that, because when the government puts a tax on, it increases the price. But the government doesn't say, "I'm participating in gouging and doing this." But when a business has a cost of tax reduced and may not pass the cost on, from Club to Rupert Roberts, he takes that as the government saying, you're cheating. Is it cheating? Talk to me, somebody. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Langio, so we're going to take a break. And tell me, is it cheating or not?
Stay. Everybody on my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Babe, you moshed the car?
I moshed the car. The lady run into me moshed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Fidelity can on this year with their new festive giveaway. You could win cash, an iPhone 15, get a bill paid off, PS5, all kind of things. Apply for a loan or an ASUS savings account, and you could win. Try our call them now. Yeah? 356.
We're good for you. The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. Just so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I asked the question, what's the duty on an item? And the cost to the producer has not changed since the time the government lowered that duty. And if the business does not lower the price so that the savings that you could get because of the lower duty is passed on, what is that called? Someone says not passing on savings is greed. Really? So so you think that every time supplier in the Bahamas has a movement in their items, because you don't know if the item ever gone went down or not, you think that they pass on whatever savings they get from you? You think that if they finally paid off a mortgage for their business and therefore no longer have a loan, and therefore no longer bear the cost of servicing that loan, that they lower the prices for you because they got that savings? You think that if they found a more efficient way to do something through technology and let go some of their workers or made redundant some people and therefore save that salary cost, that they always take that saving and pass it on to the consumer, and in not doing that because of the savings, they are greedy? You think that that is true? You think that's always true? That is greed? That's what they operate now? Selfishness? How does a business that is in the profit-making business ever be greedy or selfish? Tell me how this works. You are a business that is for profit. We are taught, we study that the profit-making business of businesses is what we call profit maximization. Make as much money as possible, not as little. Since when has conscience been an issue with respect to making profit? Because shouldn't then people who rent out their apartments to people think, well, you know, the truth of the matter is, when I consider all my cost, if I really wanted to, I could rent this apartment out for $600 a month, you know, instead of the $800 I do it for. Are they greedy? Because they could do that. They could lower it. Hmm? Well, how is in the context of business greedy come into play, except if there is a law that, see, in the matter of the state, it's a matter of law. This isn't a question of what your view is. This isn't a question of how the government feels. If the government thinks that charging people $2.90 a pound for chicken is too high, the government doesn't have to go out there and start saying, start telling you charging people $2.90 is too high for chicken, the government goes out there and passes a law and says chicken shall henceforth and forevermore no longer be more than X price. It's not about feeling. It's about the law. Greed is a subjective term. Someone regards me as greedy. Someone considers me savvy business person. You have people making billions and billions and billions of dollars. Are they greedy? No, I mean, so what is it? You know, the Prime Minister didn't say that these businesses are cheating. Mr. Roberts says, words were, they don't cheat. Okay? So he took from the Prime Minister's warning the suggestion that they were cheating. The Prime Minister was saying, if I give you a break, I expect you to pass the break on to the consumer. That is reasonable. That is absolutely reasonable. If nothing else for you changes to undermine the break. That's reasonable. But it ain't lawful, though. Okay, it's reasonable, but it's not a matter of law. Your law doesn't say, when I give you a 10%, when I reduce the custom duty by 10%, the law requires an equivalent reduction in the price by 10%. The law does not say that at all. So it can't be a matter of cheating. It's not a matter of breaking the law. It's a matter of judgment, decision making for the businessman. And what if he says, okay, well, the duty going down about 10%. All right, I'm going to pass some savings on, so let's lower the price. But only let it reflect so I can keep the fall. Is that greedy? So the consumer got some savings, but I still got a little benefit from it. Right? This text says, it's called their prerogative as a business owner. It would be great if they did, but they do not have to pass the savings on unless there is a specific law in place requiring the business to do that. It is not cheating. Did the government specify to businesses that they were only reducing the duty rate so that those savings could be passed on to the consumer? Not assumptions, but was this clearly stated and was a law or some sort of agreement signed? Not greed. Sometimes it's just business. Some of those businesses need that break just to catch up. The Prime Minister made that statement to please people. There is no teeth behind that statement, just pretty words. Okay. I can't argue that wasn't sensibly said. Because I think this has been oversimplified. There are inputs other than first cost and customs duties. You're absolutely right. That impacts pricing. How is Mr. Roberts supposed to pay for increased electricity and fuel costs? We must consider all the variables. Absolutely, you brilliantly said. If you're going to do a fair policy assessment of an issue, you have to take account of all the issues. That is for sure. You have to take account of all the variables as that texter, because there are many variables that are in consideration when it comes to business cost. We talk about fixed costs that a business might have, and then we talk about variable costs that a business might have. Of course, if your fixed costs are your fixed costs, when they over time, you don't expect those to change. But variable costs can change. Electricity can change. The cost of your inputs can change. The cost of salaries can change, and all of these kinds of things. And so it isn't possible to shoot from the hip and give adequate consideration to whether or not a business, even if you want to call it that, is being grabalicious, being really, let's just say, really problematic for the consumer, because they refuse to help if they can help. Let's just say it like that, okay? You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion in news break.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand, We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you're here on Guardian Radio, 96.9
FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. So glad you could join us today. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232. Or 325-4316. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So we got lots of texts here. This text says, that will be fine, some savings at least. Yeah, but you aren't getting what I'm saying, though. You saying it would be fine. A business, I'm saying something different. A business isn't under any obligation to give you savings that's in the profit-making business. That's what I'm saying. So see, fine is like a moral judgment on the business. Is like, you know, it'd be fine as in, I would like that. Okay, that's great. Who wouldn't, right? But I'm saying the business isn't under any obligation. Of course, a business owner could take a stance that says, you know what, I can make all the profits I want to make, but I won't do it. I could not pass on all the savings I not pass on, but won't do it. When businesses soak up some of the cost that of the rising cost of things around the world for them, none of us gets on there and say, oh, they're such a beautiful business. Oh, what a great business. Nobody says that. But then if the business don't pass on a savings, you won't chop them in the head. Right? Business owners can be have conscience about these things, but business itself is business itself. And you know what I find challenging for some of us? When we get in business, when it's our business, we want to sell our car for the maximum amount of money we want to sell our car for. We want to rent our apartment for the maximum amount of money we can rent our rent for. They got poor people who would like to live in your apartment. But we don't think of that. That's their business. I try and pay my mortgage and pay my children's school fees, and that's all that matters. I just think we're off, man. Anyway, I can talk to us about, again, a little while about what we can do to help ourselves. But, you know, I'm just saying. Say, I heard you say yesterday there's nothing the government could do to reduce the cost of living in the Bahamas. Explain this, please. Okay. So what's the cost of living in the Bahamas? All right. The cost of living in the Bahamas is not the price of food. It's a mistake to believe that. Food is but one of the cost that people incur in living. Okay. So, the other cost, and food isn't even the biggest cost. The biggest cost for people is housing, right? People have housing costs. They have utility costs, right? These are regular costs. They are food costs, of course. They have transportation costs. They have all of these make up the cost of living. I have been on this planet for 55 years, 56 years. I have studied economics in this country and finance in this country, in this world, for more than 30. I have observed the cost of living in our country and our world for decades. Please, someone tell me when the cost of housing, the cost of transportation, the cost of power, the cost of clothing, the cost of food, the cost of medicine and healthcare, and all these attenuated costs, please tell me when you have seen them go down collectively. When have you ever seen them go down? Please, somebody tell me. And if you can tell me that, I shall shut my mouth forthwith and never talk about this again, because I'm definitely off. Just tell me when, anywhere in the world, where you see it gone down. Where have you seen it gone down? I'm talking about the cost of living is a collective set of costs associated with living. When have you seen them gone down? First of all, let me tell you all, I told you all this before. In the Bahamas, let me speak here for home. I can't talk about other people's place right now, but let me speak here for home. In the Bahamas, a bulk of our cost is not the cost of living, it's the cost of wanting to live high. Okay? Because I'm sorry, you don't have to buy lamb chop. You don't have to buy pork chop. You don't have to buy as much chicken as you buy. You don't have to buy lobster. You don't have to buy Captain Crunch. You don't have to buy Fruity Pebbles. You don't have to buy Frosted Flakes. 90% of the things in the food store, you don't have to buy apple juice. You don't have to buy Welch's grape juice. You don't have to buy all them soft drinks. You don't have to buy and shouldn't be buying all the processed foods we buy. Okay? We don't have to have 5 TVs in our homes. But we choose those things. And I'm not hating on anybody who does. That's what you want. But that has a cost associated with it. Is that the cost of living, or is that the cost of wanting to live high? That's different. You don't have to buy, you don't have to drive a $30,000 car. You could choose to buy a smaller car with for less money, but that's what you choose. And I'm not hating on you for it, but it's the cost of high living, right? You don't have to borrow all that money from the bank to have this big yard and 3 and 4 and 5 bedrooms and all these other things and go on vacation. We don't have to do that. But we choose it, and I'm not hating on anybody. What I'm saying, though, is that the cost of living, or is that the cost of high living? Subsistence living, or even better than subsistence living, where you want basic housing and you have basic food, that's right, because you need the food for energy and health. You have housing because you need the shelter, your basic clothing, not Nikes. Right? Not Louis Vuitton, not all these Tommy Hilfiger now, but basic clothing that can be bought, non-branded. When we can get to that level where that is what a person can live and is required to live, then we could be talking about the cost of living. But a big part of our cost in the Bahamas is the cost of high living. Let's be real. Real periods in my life where I tell my kids, I'm sorry, I can't buy no Cap'n Crunch. I'm not buying no branded cereal. And then I had to shift from this kind of meat, oxtail meat, to go buy me chicken wings when chicken wings was cheap. I was adjusting because my income would no longer be able to afford the cost of my higher living. Tech says, great show as usual. I think it's ethically wrong, but not lawfully wrong. Great show as usual. Well, just remember that ethics is a matter of personal values about what is right or wrong. Okay, so you may well think it's ethically wrong, but if the business person doesn't have a value system in the business, that's but remember, if the modus operandi for starting the business was profit maximization, then you know, if they are in pursuit of that, how is that ethically wrong for them? Right? When they made the investment, they could have lost every nickel and dime. And when they do, not a single one of you or me goes and gives them a dollar and says, listen, man, I'm so sorry you lost your money. Not one of us. We don't even cry. We just say, my mother's sick of dread. I ain't be able to go buy none from them right now around the corner. It's a great show as usual. The green by Arawak Key went up. That will cause food and other supplies to go up. Mr. Lang, ain't nothing about us. Fame is basic. We are a spoiled society. Ah, boy. Let's see. We have some additional text here. Let me read them for you. This text says, afternoon, the market ultimately sets prices other than the prices controlled items. So if duties are lowered on items, vendors will set the price that customers are prepared to pay for them. If said customers don't like it, they either don't buy it or shop elsewhere. As long as competition healthy, prices are going to set on the basis of supply and demand. That is true. That's certainly true in theory. And in many instances in practice. That is true. So the selling price of an iPhone is substantially less than what it costs to manufacture it. Are you serious? Is Apple just being greedy? Right. No, I think I understand what you meant. You meant the selling price of an iPhone is substantially more than it costs to manufacture. The selling price of a Nike pair of shoes is substantially more. Nikes are made in China for about $10, $20. Being sold for $180, $130. So is Apple just being greedy, or are they trying to maximize profits as a profit-making enterprise? Businesses will sell merchandise at the highest price that the market can bear after assessing competition. Absolutely. So I understand what you're saying, but don't government give them tax breaks? Yes. No, the government doesn't give, say, for instance, Rupert Roberts. What tax breaks does Rupert Roberts get? Rupert Roberts pays custom duty on everything he brings in. He's not a manufacturer. Wholesale and retail suppliers do not get custom duty exemption. Neither do restaurants. So you have to be a manufacturer or a agriculture or fisheries enterprise to get, or hotel to get those exemptions. Rupert Roberts get nothing. They pay licenses just like everybody else, according to law. So there's no exemption that he gets. Don't get an exemption. So the government is the people. So if the government gives tax breaks, pass it on to the people. Okay. All right. Good luck with that. I don't disagree with you. The problem is, all I'm saying is, it isn't against the law not to do so. It is not. So talking about it is one thing. Doing something about it is another thing. So the prime minister says, you've been warned. Okay, so what can the prime minister do? But whatever he does has to be done in law. Or he could act in policy to frustrate, to challenge, to morally persuade, you know. So Mr. Lang, I'm a regular shopper at Super Value, and I am satisfied that they are doing their best to keep the price down. I go there weekly, okay? This said the same thing about lamb chops. Wanted some, but cost too much at this moment, so I have to improvise. Absolutely. So many of the texters said it brilliantly. They indicated that sellers will sell at a price that they believe the market can bear. Who's the market? The market is you, mom, you, sir. Y'all who I meet in the food store, going down to the produce aisle, looking at them blueberries, little package, $5.99, $6.99. Y'all know I be shopping, right? Them raspberries, $5.99, $6.99. Them strawberries, almost $8, right? We look at all them, and then we go to the organic section, and see them little skimpy organic stuff. $11.99, this is the non-organic one, $6. We go down the aisle of the rice and on all that processed stuff, all the aisles with the canned meats, the canned vegetables, all the aisles with the juices and drinks and stuff like that. Then we go on the outskirts, the frozen section, and we can see the ground beef and the steak and the lamb chop and the stew beef and the oxtail and the mutton if you're lucky. Then go down further and you can see the turkey and the even some places you got little pheasants here. And then you go down to the dairy aisle and all around we go down to those places and we shop and we suck our teeth. And then we go pay $159.84 for all items we bought that we didn't have to buy. We didn't have to. You didn't have to. No. I'm sorry. You did not have to buy them things. You did not. You could have bought less. Huh? As a matter of fact, some of us need to be, first of all, we need to stop eating all that processed food. We do. Because it is causing us enormous issues in our bodies. It is. Secondly, we need to stop eating as much as we eat. We're eating too much. So if you buy less, you'll eat less. You know what I do now? I literally take my food up in little small bowls many times now because it gives me smaller portions, right? Especially for the meat, because I want to cut down, if not cut out eventually, meats. I ain't telling nobody I dare yet, but I could align our savings with our own health. And we get in the store and cussing Rupert Roberts and Solomon's them. Why are you cussing them people? They are doing their business duty, doing the thing that they do for business. If you don't like the price, walk out the kitchen. So what is the reason for the government to give business incentives if it's not passed on to us, the customers? First of all, bro, a tax cut on food is not a business incentive. That's not what it is. That's not why the government is doing it. The government is hoping the businessman passes it on to you to lower your costs. That's what the government hopes. It didn't mandate it because it didn't put it in law, but that's what it hopes. So that is not a business incentive. That is a tax break for consumers. That's why the business ain't all that excited about it, because it ain't doing nothing for them. When the government raises the duty, they pass it on to you. That didn't do nothing to their business, other than raise the price maybe and maybe reduce some demand, right? When the government lowers it, if they pass the savings on, it doesn't do anything to them. It doesn't. But if they don't pass it on, it does something for them, right? So when the government gives tax incentives to businesses, this is what they're doing. They're trying to lower the cost of either startup or expansion for the business. They're trying to lower the capital cost of the startup or expansion for the business. Why? Because if a new business comes on stream, that's new jobs, new income, new profits, new taxes for the government. If a business income, new jobs, new taxes for the government and for the country. That's why it does that. There's a huge difference between a business tax incentive and a consumer tax incentive. And cutting duties on food is a consumer tax incentive. It is not a business incentive. This text says, Mr. Lang, the text is showing off, you see, how much for lamb chops. Mr. Lang, true story. I cook lamb chops. I tell them they better eat the gristle. That's the fat side of the lamb chop. You got to tell me what gristle is, man. I love gristle. You ain't gotta make me eat that. I love gristle. If you can get it chewed. Said Mr. Lang, great show as usual. You think most of us as Bahamians haven't received the reality check that this is 2023 and not 1993, and we're still spending based on older budgets, Bahamians don't want to adapt. Actually, we're not spending based on old budgets at all. We're spending based on old habits. That's what we're spending on. I mean, listen, and I'm not condemning anybody. We love what we love. We really do. We love to eat what we love to eat. And it is not easy to change your preference for what and how much you love to eat. I could tell you it hasn't been easy for me, right? So habit is a huge force in our financial practices. And it takes a great deal of intentionality. It takes a great deal of practice, really just one step at a time, one day at a time, trying to reform different habits so that you can do something different. My son, after I started intermittent fasting, over time, he eventually came into the same habit and practice. So the boy doesn't eat breakfast. He does not. His first meal might be at lunch at school. So, but also our eating, I cook. So he eats what I eat. And so over time too, I said to him, I give him his lunch money at the beginning of the school year, the school week. And, sometimes at the end of the week, I said, I would say during the course of, after I pick him up, I said, what'd you have today? He said, I ain't done today. There's a food that too unhealthy. So I didn't have any today. I said, oh, okay. All right. And now he's slimming off, and stretching out, and, so but it takes time, and it takes intentionality. And it ain't easy, and I ain't trying to pretend it's easy, man. Walking past that Captain Crunch. Walking past that cheap, fat pork chop. It ain't easy. But it is, if when we come back from the break, I'm going to talk about the way we can alter the pricing of things in the Bahamas for ourselves. Let me come back from the break. This is Viral Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Wherever you are in the world, Cleveland Clinic's world-class care is here for you. From Ohio to Florida to London, Cleveland Clinic treats thousands of patients every year, ranked number 2 in the world by Newsweek. You can trust our caregivers to enhance your experience across each step of your treatment journey. For every care in the world, learn more at clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Get ready to jingle all the way to Christmas with Fidelity's festive giveaway, with over $10,000 in cash and prizes up for grabs. Apply for a loan or open an ASU savings account for a chance to win big. Visit any of our branches for more details. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, we'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. 325-4316. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Great show. In addition to the government lowering the custom duties for business, I would like to say the following. When food stores and businesses bring in their items, they bring them in bulk, so they pay a lower cost right there. It would be so wrong not to work with the government if companies are getting reduced rates. Also, when those big companies who sell cars, especially the smaller cars, they bring them in bulk at a lower cost. We, the consumers, pay at exorbitant price for cars. In other words, we can end up paying double or triple the price on items, including cars. The government should also look into the rate of interest at our local banks. You can end up paying 10% interest rate add-on that can add up to, say, about 20% rate of interest. They are not selling us the true rate of interest. Yes, we have to watch what we eat. I agree with you. Okay, so that's a lot you packed in there, right? And let me say, here's my basic retort. Appreciate. You say it would be so wrong. Wrong? Why? Why? Is there a law from the God that says a business seeking profit shouldn't seek high profits? Is there a law from God? Is there a law? But even if there was a law from God, is there a law in the country that says that it shouldn't happen? So what is the basis of the wrong? A view that you have that them doing so is wrong. Okay, well, that's okay then. That's your view. but there's not an objective wrong there, because businesses are in the business of making profits. And if they can get a thing sourced for as low a price as they want, the issue isn't how much they paid for it and how much they charge for it. The issue is you are prepared to pay for it. If you say they are paying double, charging double and triple, but you pay for it. You pay for it. That means you could afford it. And you did. Just because they didn't have you pay less, that didn't mean you couldn't afford it. Otherwise, why did you buy it? So we are adults buying this stuff, man. We're not children. We do like somebody is forcing us. Nobody's forcing us. You know how to buy a car that you think is 3,000, three times higher in price than it should be? Go get your car from China then. Go get your car from the US then. Right? And then finally, let me say, you say they're not charging the true interest rate. Listen, a bank's charge of interest is its price. How is it not true? It's there. We don't have to take the loan. We don't have to, but it's their price. There's no such thing. It's not no such thing as that's not their true price. It is their true price. That's the one they charge. And you and I do not have to take it. Oh my God, I wish I could get this through to you. We are not children being forced to do things. We are adults. We are choosing this and we are creating the market and the economy we have. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hello?
Yes, sir. We're listening to you, sir.
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you very well. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, Mr. Lang, you know, I think, in my opinion, that the government needs to set the tone. People look at the government, especially with these union and whatnot, when they are negotiating and trying to get whatever they want. And the first thing they say, oh, the government could find the money to do this, the government whatever they want to do for themselves, but they can't find the money to give to us, right? And what austerity measures has any government put in place? This present government, people look at all of the, we're spending $16 billion on consultancy or more, this million dollars on travel, this million dollars. So when If the government was more prudent in their spending and showing the people that, listen, we are about conservative government, we're going to try and get our national debt down. But the people look at the government, they live in high on the hog. Being here for 5 years, we're going to get whatever we can get in that fight.
No, but don't, no, but no, 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 no. You're conflating two things, though. No, no, no. No, you're conflating two things. No, you can't, on the one hand, talk about the expenditure for travel and consultants and that kind of stuff, and then on the other hand, say we're going to get all we can get, because the government isn't paying itself the money. The politicians aren't paying themselves the money. You might not like how they're spending your money, but they're not paying it to themselves, though.
But, Mr. Lang, you see what was in the paper the other day? Yesterday?
No, I understand. No,
I don't want to go there. But I am saying, I am saying it, the perception out there among the general public is
I understand. I understand.
The government.
I understand, but I understand. I understand. But what I'm saying is, you know the ten I take on the show. I want us to reflect in our communications, though, a perspective that is more appropriate. If you say to me, listen, some of these people may have corrupt practices and that's getting them some money, I'm good with that.
Right.
But I think you were making a very good point when you were talking about, listen, set the tone, because the way you're spending doesn't say a whole lot. I actually thought you were going in a different direction, you know, because take for instance, right? the government don't have to charge you with a charge you to license a car.
Government can do, like you said, the government can reduce, can send home people if they can't pay their bills. But the government has the ability to do whatever they want to do, okay? But we need to reduce the cost of governance in the country, okay? And I know that politics is all about, or it seems to be all about job, getting jobs. One politician said, well, once Bahamians are working, they don't care what the government do, you know, money and whatnot. They don't care what the government
The person who said that is naive, because what happens is when people have money in their pockets, they start looking at more, less existential things and more ethereal things. And so they start looking at what you're doing. And they could take some time talking about things like environment and all that kind of stuff, because now they focus on just mere surviving.
I mean, I could call the person. He's now an ambassador to Canada. He made that statement several years
ago. Well, he's wrong. He's wrong.
Once Bahamians are working and they got money in their pocket.
Let me ask you a question. Who do you think are more conscientious about the way the government is carrying on? Bahamians who are more educated and make more money, or Bahamians who are less educated and make less money?
You know, this is like the average person who's out there working on a minimum wage job. They just struggling to try to make it.
Exactly.
They're not concerned. Their concern is how I'm going to feed my family, how I'm going to pay my rent, how I'm going to pay the high cost. They really don't have the time to be concerned about, you know, the overall governance of the country. There were mechanisms, the ORG, the Organization for Responsible Government, they had, you know, had put some things in place in order to check the government and we still don't know where the Procurement Act is and whatnot, and all the guidelines and things. You see, when people see the government breaking their own laws and all of these things that they, the things that are supposed to be followed, you know, like somebody texted earlier, there are general orders regarding, and they should be followed.
General orders apply to civil servants, though.
Right, but then you want these civil servants. She's an FO, and you know, the minister came to her and wanted her to do a certain thing that was against the very law that supposed to govern them, and she said, "No, this is what the procedure is, and I am going to follow it." And so you have these ministers who come into this department, who issue these contracts without the relevant documentation, and they want these people in order to do that. So we have to obey the law in all aspects. Anytime you take shortcuts in the line, you know what happens? You can get cut.
I got you, brother. I got you. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. This text says, can the government lower the price of gas if they remove VAT? And if it will be lower, why wouldn't they do it? My office is using my phone. Oh, okay. Yes, if not VAT, if the dollar something. If the government moves that, the cost of gas would be lower. There's no question about that. But the government would also lose that multiple millions of dollars in revenue. So you could pick your poison. But yes, the government could do that, and it could lower the cost. There's no question about that. This text says, I am one of those who had to make the adjustments concerning grocery shopping. We are empty nesters, so I no longer buy the bag of onions. I purchase fruits that are on special that week. I no longer buy the family packs of meat. I still splurge on vegetables, though. I consolidate errands to save gas. Absolutely. Absolutely. You got you. Me, I didn't tell you all before. I don't throw away nothing much. Listen. If I boil conch, I save the water. Because I can use that for soup. Or I'll use it for a broth. You hear me? If I make some chicken sauce and we eat all the meat or the chicken or all the stuff with the sauce, I'm saving that water. Because that could sauce something else later. You got to find a way, man. You got to do what you got to do. Got to do what you got to do. And we are not helpless. We can do some stuff. We can do some stuff. When we come back from the break, I'm telling you some of the stuff we can do. It's a repeat of some stuff, but I'll tell you. We'll be back after this break. You're listening to Z-Lab.
Take a stand. Everybody. Come take this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm.
It's World Investor Month, and we're demystifying the world of investments. Let's talk about risk. Imagine investing as a tightrope walk. On one side, you risk falling. On the other, you have potential rewards. All investments carry some level of risk, even the safest ones. Understanding these risks is crucial to making smart investment decisions. This message is brought to you by RF Bank and Trust and the Bahamas International Securities Exchange. Learn more by following us on social media.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bog down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pin from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pin.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you said.
Calls 308-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9. FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. So glad you could join us today. Just a little update on the vote that overturned. It's about 9:30 a.m. A double deck pleasure craft left from the ferry dock in downtown Nassau with over 100 passengers on board Half hour into the ride, vessel experienced rough waters near Blue Lagoon. Boat took on water. Dad is a resident of Bloomdale, Colorado. The woman was on a five-day family vacation, according to police. Wow. As we get more information, we'll let you have it. It's Texas, no man, not the South Water Chicago. Absolutely. Absolutely. I can tell you good. You go in my fridge right now and in the cantina. I boiled some lobster tail a couple weeks ago. And the water from the lobster tail, I poured in a cantina and I put it in the freezer. Guess what I do with that? So I take the broth from that and I put in a pot. And I boil that down and I put in my vegetables, my carrots, my bok choy, or my broccoli and stuff like that. And so, you know how the Chinese have this like little soupy vegetable soup thing? That's what I do. Sometimes I might have that with some fish or something like that, or with rice. So listen, folks, listen. On the big picture, if the government of the Bahamas is truly interested in creating the best environment for lower cost and higher quality goods, they can't guarantee it, but creating the best environment, you know what it will do? It would free up wholesale and retail trade in the Bahamas and allow foreign participation in it more. Oh my God, Chivago, you did not say that. I did. Right now, it's supposed to be reserved for Bahamians. Supposed to be. Matter is, though, there are foreign participants in it already, wholesale and retail in the Bahamas already. It's just special people participating in it. Okay. Secondly, what is happening is the cost of capital, the capital threshold to get into some of these businesses, to compete with these stores and what have you, is significant. And there are lots of Bahamians who can't or won't do it. But guess what? They would do it if they were able to partner with some foreign concern with the capital and the sourcing to be able to come in here and innovate and compete with some of these stores. But you don't want that. You don't want to save it for the people who have it. You don't want no competition. And the thing about it is with competition is, let's suppose the foreign joint venture with the Bahamian comes in here and you say, oh, I don't want the foreign joint venture with the Bahamian to win. Then keep shopping where you're shopping now. That's how you get them to win. Just because the competition comes doesn't mean they will win. They only will win if they are doing better for you than the other people now. And guess what? If they come in, the foreign joint venture comes in and they have a better quality and a lower price and you start shopping to them, what do you think the other people are going to have to do? If they want to stay in business, they'll do something. But you know what they rely on? They rely on the government saying, no, foreigners. While they may have all kind of backdoor arrangements with foreigners, all kinds. And I hate on them. They know how to do business. But I'm saying if you want lower prices and lower costs, there's only one thing that's going to do that. Competition. Now, mind you, you ain't that big a market. So some people might not even be interested in coming here to do anything. But you will never know because, as it now stands, the government say, no, it can't happen. At least not for that group. Maybe for this group, but not for that group. You listening? We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, good afternoon, Chicago. How are you today?
I'm ready, man. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Chicago, you hit a nail right on the head. We have the biggest conglomerate, one of the biggest conglomerate corporations of the United States of America right here in the Bahamas.
Absolutely.
I think it's Cisco. Time now for the Bahamas to move at food security. If we're not going to grow food, let's start at a Walmart. Okay? Let me explain to you why. Listen, we are purchasing items from this particular company on a daily basis, and most of the food stores are purchasing also. Why can't we get some wholesale goods here in the Bahamas from Walmart or one of those places? Why can't we have a wholesale or Walmart here in the Bahamas?
Brother, go ahead of the classroom, man.
See, Chihuahua, let's be real. What you got to do is think out of the box, okay?
Complain,
blame the government, That's what we want, okay?
But let's be real. I want you to break this down for us, man. Let's be real. Right now, today, a foreign company is supplying a bulk of supplies to us with no Walmart here.
No. Well, why cannot? Why it can't happen?
I don't know. And why it can't happen if Bahamian's joint venture with whoever the place
Bahamian,
is?
Not a small business, but a medium-sized or large business here in the Bahamas. Yeah. It could happen. Because it happens. Governments allow things to happen what the people want if they ask for it, you know. But you have to really agitate for it. And I think right now, if we are going to be on the back burner of food security as far as growing food then in a mass scale, I think we need to look at that so Bahamians could get some savings. Thank you, man.
Thank you very much for calling, man. I appreciate it. Let's be clear. We can make progress in agriculture and fisheries, growing more and producing more. We can. But there's limits to the extent to which, without absolute government intervention, you are going to be able to do that on your own without some very serious transformation of your agriculture and fisheries sector that involves foreign labor and foreign capital. Very, 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 very difficult. All right? But that notwithstanding, we are going to continue to buy the bulk of our products from abroad. Well, can I tell you something? If you have foreign shoes in your closet, foreign pants and shirts in your closet that you bought at home, if you have foreign products in your kitchen that you eat and consume, if you have foreign products in your laundry room that you use and so forth, if you drive a foreign car, guess what? All the people who supply them to you are really only buyers abroad for you. They are buyers abroad for you, and they are doing great business. Thank God for them. They help us to get these conveniences, etc. But let's be clear, though. These are foreign products. And therefore, them serving as a middleman, which is business, which is good business, that's how business works, means that they get to tack on a cost, their profit and otherwise, to the thing they buy for you from abroad. All right? So the notion that this is Bahamian doing this and so forth, well, yes, a Bahamian buyer for me, and nothing wrong with that. But if there are few who are able to do it because they have had the advantage of pioneering, and God bless them for it, nothing gets to change if there isn't robust competition to help drive things in another direction. And so far, there has not been. And as a consequence, we eat up the price. That's the reality. Now, you're too small to really matter that much to people wanting to come in and invest and make that competition the way you want it. But the reality is. This text says, Mr. Lang, look at the type of government vehicles being driven. We ought to have basic vehicles, luxury jeeps, et cetera, are unnecessary. There you go. Say, Shivago, you make me laugh when you save everything. I cook dumpling soup on Sunday and I eat that for 2 to 3 days. Oh, man, you only eat that for a couple of days. First of all, can I tell you? When I cook dumpling soup, I cook a very tall pot. And then I break that down. My son is sitting right here laughing. He know. I break that down in the little small. I put them in glad bags. And I put them in the fridge, the freezer. So I can have them for weeks and weeks. Okay? Secondly, you know, when I make rice, for two reasons, I make a big pot of rice. If I make white rice, a big pot of white rice. Why? One, I'm only going to cook that rice one time because I know I'm going to use it multiple times. Two, when rice goes and it's cooked and stays, changes its molecular structure so that its glycemic index reduces. so that it is not the same starch that it started out with and therefore isn't going to be responsible for the kind of insulin spikes that you can get from rice, which is a highly starchy grain, right? So again, so I'm saving the energy, saving time. When I cook a big pot of steam and I bag it and put it away in the freezer. So that's one time for the steam. So when I need to go steam something, no problem, take it out, boom, I go steam something. Man, you gotta find a way. Find a way to make things work for you. And I'm telling y'all, we our habits are our worst enemies when it comes to our financial management. Our habits, formed over many years, are our worst enemy. We love flavor. And so we purchase for flavor. We love quantity. So we purchase for quantity. And we love what we love. So we purchase for preference. And we think that we will die if we change our habits and preferences. That is not true. It may take some to change that habit up. But when it does, you'll be like, well, what was the big deal in the beginning, first place? Like not drinking a soda with a meal? Oh my God, I couldn't fathom that some time ago. Couldn't fathom it. You know what my drink is now? After my, in the container, I squeeze some orange in that water, some orange, and some honey, just to give it a little sweet. And that's my thing, and that does it for me. Say, sir, it's wrong and against the law for outsiders to do business here. They are competing with them as they need to get out ASAP. Actually, it's not against the law. It's against policy, and the policy isn't in law. You have no laws against foreign participation in your economy. None. Except in law, in the legal industry and profession, one or two of them, maybe even engineering. But no, you don't have no law against that stuff, man. So we must follow our laws and policies. I agree with you. If you have them, you should follow them. I agree with you 100%. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today. God bless you. He spares life. We'll be back tomorrow. Take care.
Take my walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.